It's time for the Orlando Lions Den podcast with your hosts, JJ, Eddie, Cleon, and Alex Brown.
Your boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust.
Welcome London to another edition of the Orlando Lions Den podcast. This is your host for today, Eddie the Commish, Eddie Cruz. We had two matches this week. Got a lot to talk about. Big Open Cup match on Wednesday. Open Cup or bust talk. Recaps. Studs and duds, all kinds of stuff. So let's get going. But first, let me introduce, you know what? Let me get the sponsors out of the way. We got Field Turf USA. Premier League starts on August the 5th. And you see a lot of their pitches being used in the Premier League. And we got Accurate Mortgage. Talk to experts. The market is tough when it comes to homes, comes to interest rates. So make sure you get someone who could walk you through that process. And myself, Eddie Cruz, with Comparing Insurance Agency, Liberty Mutual Company. Inflation is affecting everything. So again, talk to experts. We're out here to help. But now we got that out of the way. Let's talk to my main man here, South Florida, Alex Ryder. Alex has been our anchor of optimism. How you feeling, Alex?
I'd rather watch us lose to Arsenal than the way that Philly went down. That was not fun to watch. That was my levels of optimism are going down. I've made ultimatums at this point, and I'm not going to be optimistic about anything today. So I'm going to just warn everybody in advance. If you come to this podcast for my optimism, which I don't think a lot of you do, turn it off now.
I think people
don't
appreciate
it. Turn it off,
it.
People. Don't turn it off.
No, yeah, look, hey, the
no
clicks
one
count.
Comes for my optimism. No, I be very clear.
Still don't
Alex,
turn it off.
Alex, they do actually. I've had people comment that they like that you balance, you know, JJ and stuff sometimes. And
first I've heard of it.
Yeah, and look, and for someone like Alex, to his optimism to go away, it's a big deal. This guy is a Cubs fan. You know, his family like came on the Mayflower and then didn't see a World Series until like 2000. What was it, 15 or something?
2016. 13. November
was close.
3rd, 2016.
Yeah. I mean, from the American founding to 2016, just losing, and they were still optimistic through that. And if that doesn't convince you, half of his family are Red Sox fans. It took 100 years to break the curse of the Bambino, the curse of the GOAT. So if this man isn't optimistic, mystic, you know, because all he's known
and
in his
and then
sports.
getting a butt whipping by Toronto this week also.
Oh yeah,
but 28-5.
Yeah, that's incredible. That was yeah.
That's a football score. That's a safety, a field goal, and four touchdowns.
For real, yeah. So if I'm just saying, if Alex, the guy who's been born, whose DNA is eternal optimism despite what you're facing in sports, is down, that says a lot. So speaking of down, JJ, how you feeling, buddy?
Well, besides having COVID and not being able to go to the game, that saved me money. And because I probably wouldn't have gone anyways to see a loss, because that's all that happens at Orlando Exploria Stadium is locked. So until we get rid of Poppy, hey, I think we'll see more losses. You know, so it's bust. It's winter bust, I think, on Wednesday. And I think it's going to be the balloon is going to burst on Wednesday. And we might see Poppy finally, you know, saying bye-bye.
Wow, you guys, so if they didn't take Alex's advice and hang up because or stop listening because he wasn't optimistic, I think we might have lost some right there with your so, I'm teasing JJ. No, this is about all being honest in there, so I appreciate that. Cleon, so you, where are you feeling, buddy? Are you, I mean, what's going on over there? What do you got in your notebook? How are you feeling with this tough, rough schedule we got going on?
I'm tired of these L's, man. I'm tired of the L's. I need to, at this point, advancing in this Open Cup is going to go a very long way with me, because I'm like right on the edge. You know what I mean? So, I'm like Open Cup or bust right now. There's still a lot of games left in the season. I don't know about a lot, but there's how many games we got left? About 13 or so.
12, I believe.
In the regular season.
Open Cup.
12. No, we're at 22 games. So, yeah, we 12. Only got 12.
Plus
Cup. Yeah, we got to turn it around quick, bro.
Thankfully, we don't have any more friendlies.
We got to turn it around quick. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, gotcha. So, look, we're going to keep it real on this podcast, and everyone's going to have their piece. But if you're watching this team, if you support this team, and you think this is just good enough, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. If you support this team and you love this team, you want more than what we're seeing. Results are results, sure. We got some ties here and there, etc. But we have one win in the last 8. Is that correct, Cleon? One win.
Yeah.
And that one win was brought to you by
Owen Goal.
By Owen Goal.
Damian Lowe.
Owen MVP. Goal. That's right. Yeah, leading scorer during the stretch. That was one goal in 92nd minute. That's our one win. And if you think we're gonna come here and just be like rah rah rah, we're fifth on the table when we got one win out of 8. Bro, I don't know what to tell you. You're not watching the matches. You cannot watch it and not be frustrated. So, speaking of matches, we had
Damian. Hold on, just if you want one more stat, Damian Lowe is currently tied for 7th scoring for our team this year.
Damian Lowe has 100%,
and he plays for Inter Miami.
He has 100% more goals than Tesho, tied with Benji, one less goal than Urso, more goals than the rest of our midfield. You know, except for, you know, so I just, for real, I had that goal, but it was an Open Cup. So we're talking about MLS. MLS, Damian Lowe is right there. Yeah, and guess what? You know what's hilarious, though? Is like, of course, it was a defender who scored for us, right? It had to be a defender.
It's even on the own goals, it's still the center back, bro.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm like, okay, well, why are we, if we're down, why are we bringing in defenders? But I'm like, oh, the way we play, that's actually an offensive move. Maybe we get a set piece and we can dink one in. Rodrigo will hit it off someone's shin or something, you know? So, anyways,
Eddie, yes. I'm going to jump in. You're talking about our record and about us being real. You guys want to get real for a sec? The only reason we're in a playoff spot right now is because we're in the East, and the East just generally isn't playing that well. If we were in the West, we'd be 8th place.
Wow. 8th place in the West.
8th place.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is the East is just not, the East has failed to produce more than 2 or 3 good teams, and we just played one of those teams. And it is what it is.
Yeah, if you look at the narrative this year, like Portland, what happened? You know, they're not really there. They're going to turn it on late. Seattle, they got the CONCACAF thing, and they have been bad. And LA Galaxy, trash, right? All this stuff, terrible. LA Galaxy has as many points as us and a better goal differential and more goals. Okay, so the Galaxy, all their defense is garbage. They have 27 goals allowed. We have 31. They have 29 goals scored. We have 26. So just imagine, yeah, that's the 7th seed in the West is the LA Galaxy. So, yeah. No, look, Wednesday we had a match. We had a massive club, my club, on North London. The Arsenal come down to Orlando, the USA cash grabbing tour, and came down. They it was a rainy night. I went to the match, proper London weather. It was rain delay. I was walking there getting drenched. Cleon, I like to wear sandals. For the first time I wore the appropriate, you know, I had slides, appropriate socks with slides for the first time, Cleon, and then it rained. So I'm never doing that again. Thank you for the suggestion. And I get to the game. Arsenal didn't start most of their starting 11. They probably had 2 to 3 of their starting 11. The goalkeeper, Aaron Ramsdale, Gabriel Martinelli, and Ben White in the starting rotation. And Orlando City started pretty much, you know, they're the best 11 for the most part. And the first half, Orlando City looked good. Arsenal scored a first goal off a deflection. Really didn't have that many chances. Orlando City should have had a goal from Benji Michel. Rob Holding deflected it. I think he took too long. Facundo had a brilliant pass. The Arsenal center backs were slow. We were playing direct and free. We were attacking vertically. We looked dangerous. Benji should have scored. Didn't. And then Facundo Torres scores. I mean, first half he stood out. You got Arsenal people talking about who's this kid, etc. He's better than Pepe, our right winger, etc. So it was 1-1.5. And then Orlando started taking off some of their starters, and then Arsenal brought in their starters. And then 3-1 at the end, pretty comfortable by Arsenal. The press, they were playing a high line, and the press really got to Orlando City in the second half. But, you know, it was a good crowd, 20,000. It felt like more. You guys ever seen a stadium where they say it's 18, 20? It doesn't feel like it. I was there. The energy was palpable. It felt like, you know, 20,000 plus. Cleon was there too. And that was with an hour rain delay, guys. So what do you guys kind of make about that? Cleon, you were at the match. What do you think about the atmosphere? How, you know, this club has had trouble drawing fans, you know, et cetera. What did you think about that?
I don't know. It was weird. It was especially different for me because I was in my usual season ticket seats on the south end behind goal. And that entire section, damn near 90% of it at least, was Arsenal. So I literally felt like I was watching a game in England over there. And yeah, it was nuts, man. Like that was all Arsenal people on my end. It was crazy because in the first half when we were playing well and stuff like that, they weren't so much being like, oh, that guy's good or this or whatever in regards to us. It was just more, oh, this guy sucks. Why is he playing? As far as like people on their team.
Yeah. Paolo Marie, Duno Tavares.
They're like, this guy freaking sucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but in their, you know, their England slang. But yeah, it was crazy, man. Like they have flares over there. They were setting off flares when Arsenal scored. A lot of them had accents, so I'm not sure if they were local or I don't know if Arsenal fans just travel like that or what. But for the most part, a lot of them in my section, they had their thick accents and everything. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they're local or not, but if they are, man, I don't know what we got to do to convert some of these people, man.
Somebody, do you think anything, you guys, JJ, do you think anything that happened that day will help with, you know, bring Orlando City? Because look, just to kind of expand a little bit, let's expand a little bit on this. Yesterday, you know, Saturday, Arsenal played Chelsea, the Citrus Bowl. 65,000 people showed up. And the match was the same time at Orlando City. Orlando City had like, it looked like twice the Pride crowd. You know, it looked bad.
They
whatever number they
16,
said,
16, which was not correct. No, it looked like maybe 11.
Take away the 6 or the 1 because it was not 16. So, like, how do you get 65,000 to that? I know it's an event, but that we should be able to fill our stadium up. So, go ahead, JJ.
All right. So, Cleon was talking about getting these fans to become Orlando City fans, or you know, get them. They were Orlando City fans. We have a big population of English. I mean, you come up here to Altamont Springs, you got St. Andrews. They have 6 soccer teams in the Central Florida Soccer League. You know, almost 90% of those guys are all English guys. Arsenal, Man U, Leeds United, every kind of fan you can imagine. Those guys all used to go to Orlando City games. And I know because I used to play with these guys in the Central Florida Soccer League back in the day before I tore my ACL and MCL and everything. So they used to go to these games. Now, we're not – the thing is we're not playing a sport that – Orlando's not showing that game that they used to. You know, the brilliance of when we had Kaká. I mean, and Cleon has alluded to this, you know. Beautiful soccer brings games, people into the stadium. Wins brings people into the stadium. If you don't have that combination, you're going to start losing. Who would you rather go see? First of all, yesterday's match between Chelsea and Arsenal, 63,000, beats the record. which was a 62,000 for us when we had that filled the bowl. Okay. Yes, you had a lot of Orlando City fans go to that game, the Chelsea Arsenal game. Let me tell you, if I was an Arsenal or Chelsea fan, I mean, in this one, I would have been more of an Arsenal because of Nuno Tavares being from Benfica and Cedric Suarez being Portuguese. I would have loved to go see them guys and everything. But Chelsea also has a lot of history of Portuguese for me because of Mourinho, Paulo Ferreira, all these guys that used to play for Chelsea. But I was with COVID and I wasn't able to go. But I would have gone to that game. Orlando City is my heart and my dedication, but it's not. You don't get to see in my lifetime, I would not be able to see a Chelsea Arsenal game, even though it's a friendly, okay? But you still have the best players. Gabby Jesus played, you know, all these players played. And to have it here in Orlando, yes, I'm going to go watch them, okay? Now, people said, why didn't they do this game today on Sunday? You know, we're potting on Sunday doing the podcast. Why didn't they do it? Because, first of all, it was Orlando City. MLS made the schedule. And then the FC series, that's totally a different organization. They did that one because that's when they could have gotten the Citrus Bowl or whatever. So, unfortunately, if you think about it, we had close to 80,000 people combined in both watching soccer at the same time, which to me is phenomenal in Orlando. You know, you had the Citrus Bowl and you, or the Camping World Stadium, whatever, and you had Exploria Stadium. It's phenomenal. And going back to the English players or English fans that Clean was talking about, we start winning. We start because you know something? These English fans, they probably right now probably don't like Poppy. Don't like his style of play.
Is it the and, whole – wait, is, well, real quick, Jay, let me ask you
are this. Are we sure they even know who Poppy is?
Yeah, no, let me ask you this real quick, Jay. Do you think it has to do – because, look, British – they're – I mean, they're – since the Premier League became a Premier League, an English manager hasn't won the league. You know, English football, bright collar Brexit ball is not known to be fluid and pretty. So, like, I don't know if they dislike
well, – English ball is just – English ball is just kicking the ball down.
Yeah, but it's like you know 4-4-2 and send a bunch of crosses to Peter Crouch or whatever, and yeah. And or it seems like Oscar plays British, like you know be tight defensively, hard to beat, nick a goal on a counter or on a set piece. So I mean, it's Oscar is the Colombian Sam Allardyce to me. He's you know play defensively hard to beat. But what I was gonna
get people in the seats.
Do you think because you knew that they were watching. They're watching us at the beginning. Do you think Adrian Heath being gone and Rollins, the English connection, the Brazilian takeover, do you think that played a part at all, real quick? Do you think there was a sense of Britishness, Englishness to the club at the beginning?
There was, with Adrian Heath, you know, and Phil Rollins. But, they took over. I mean, Flavio took over. You still saw those English people. I still saw my English friends at the games, you know. But I just started seeing less and less of them, you know, and not just them, but other soccer fans that are big in XL, big where, you know, I could from Central Florida Soccer League, from XL Indoor back to when it was the Northside Sportsplex, you know, I'm naming all these indoor facilities here in the Orlando area, which when I used to play, I would see all my friends from there. Now, I don't see that many of my friends from there. You know, so I just feel like the loss, I'd rather go play soccer than go watch a mediocre team and spend my money. And tickets basically are expensive to go see them. I mean, even though a lot of them, people are giving them away for free from what I'm seeing on OC. And they can't even give those away, the tickets anymore, which is kind of ridiculous. But yeah, I just feel like, we're starting to, I mean, we're losing our fans base and everything. And if we start winning, we'll get it back.
Now, I think like, I agree with what you're saying. I think, and Cleon was talking about Alex that our style of play has been boring. It's tough to watch, but Cleon, this match, we saw it open up a little bit. The first half, we always talk about how, you know, when we had to chase the lead, things look a little better offensively. We saw Pato play. We saw Pato play the 10 role, etc. Do you think the tactics are slowly changing? Is Papi realizing maybe there's a little heat on that butt, and he needs to open it up a touch?
I actually do. If I'm just judging off of the last two games I've seen them play, which is Arsenal and the Philly game, both of those games did look different as far as like the speed they were playing, the willingness to go forward and things like that. Philly, at the end of the day, like it's still, you know, shots on goal and things like that, or even just shots at goal, left a little to be desired still. But at least the speed of the game seemed to be a lot more picked up and not as controlled as we've been. So I think maybe it is slowly. I think maybe Oscar is slowly loosening the offensive reins a little bit. But like you said, the same way how those reins get loosened or thrown out the window in a desperation situation where you're down a goal, it can also get thrown out the window when you are feeling a little bit of heat from the front office or from whoever ownership, with all this type of stuff. So, I mean, that pressure can come from different directions and different angles. So I think they slowly are changing. We should really be able to tell by maybe this Open Cup game, but I think they are changing a little bit. He's definitely seems to have finally have figured out how Faku is best used. I don't know why on earth it took this long, but because Faku, anybody that watched Faku at Penarol, even if you're literally an armchair quarterback or whatever, literally anybody that even knows freaking 5% of soccer or seen it, you can see everything attacking he does is going inverted right to left. We said it from the very beginning, he's a very different player on the left than he is on the right. It's not even close. It's a completely different player. And why it took this long to finally finally understand that or to finally just put him in the best position and the most comfortable position for him, which is the way he's used to playing. You don't bring people in. You don't bring players in for big money, expect them to produce, and then try to completely change the way they play. It makes no sense. So if the guy is used to being, if you want to come in, you don't pay 7.5 or 8 or 10 or whatever it was for him and have him come in to be a crosser all game from the left side, because that's literally all he's going to do from over there. He's only aggressive going literally right to left. That's his comfort zone. That's his hole. That's what he does. So why it even took that long to understand that, I have no clue. So that part, that's promising, that he's at least that's now seemed to be solidified, that he knows how Faku is to be used, and Faku looks 10 times better. I don't know anybody that's going to say otherwise. He looks completely different. He's starting to look like what you would have expected from the beginning, out of him. I still don't understand what's going on with the whole Pato situation. I don't know why he's doing that. I don't get it. I don't get it. But so maybe that's the next step. Who knows?
Hopefully he knows how to score. I mean, Faku. I mean, that's a goal that he should have had there with Blake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, Facundo had a great goal against Arsenal. But we talked, we kind of talked about Arsenal there. Great atmosphere. First half, we looked good. We played free. Facundo played in Benji. Benji was getting behind. Facundo got behind on a long ball from Antonio Carlos and scored on Nuno Tavares. And, near post, great finish. This match, he led the team in touches, or he was up there, and he had our best chance to score on a counterattack. But overall, the problem with this team is that the last three matches are expected goals. And expected goals isn't everything, but it meets the eye test against Colorado, 0.7. Against Atlanta, 0.2. Against Philadelphia, 0.2. Against the Philadelphia, 0.7. Okay, or, you know, Colorado, 2.5. When we're getting these draws and we're looking at things like that, oh, we got 2 points. But look at how the game should have happened. That means Pedro Bellis out or a little lucky here and there. And against Atlanta, against Philadelphia, you know, it was – we'll get into that here in a second. It was – we need – sorry, for a team – Alex, you're telling me if I'm wrong here. For a team that doesn't create a lot of chances, we gotta score. We gotta score every chance we get. We gotta be clinical. But then you're expecting someone who's been cold, running back and tracking back on defense to nail every single shot because you got one good shot on goal. You got one chance, and not everybody can be that clinical. This is MLS. It's not even the Premier League. Everyone makes every chance. But Philadelphia, just recap real quick, 1-0 loss. Orlando City, you know, 65% possession, I believe, 200 more passes, you know, created better chances in the first half. Philadelphia scored on their one shot on goal, which was off of a set piece. Gazdag kicks it from point blank range because Puan had a mental lapse and forgot to step up, played him onside after VAR reviewed it. Just mental lapse right there. It was just an unnecessary goal. They weren't dangerous at all, really, the rest of the match, everything. Philadelphia tried to do a number on Mauricio. They did a lot of fouling, very cynical. They play gross. They flop, they dive, they pretend to hurt, they stall the game. They always played like dirty like that. And Jose Martinez is gross, and he was just roughing up Mauricio, and he's a good player, but they were roughing up Mauricio, and it was giving us trouble to beat their defense, which is the best in the league. And we couldn't really break them down. So at the end, we had a good shot where on a counter, Mauricio plays in Fagundo, and Fagundo schools the defender and tries to curl it around Blake and misses. Should have made that. And then Mauricio wins the ball at the top of the 18. And Mulroney, I swear, if he was in Atlanta, he would have shot that. He gets the ball at the 18 and just poops his pants, just like freaks out and blows it. So and then I had that feeling, man. I said, if we don't score here, this is where we get scored on. And then, bam.
You
just
jinxed us.
I jinxed us. 39, you know, a few minutes later, wasn't very high, much later. Yeah, here comes Gazdag with the stinking goal. And at the end, 99 minutes or whatever in, you know, we get a set piece. Antonio Carlos gets completely mugged by Gazdag.
And does he really get completely mugged?
Yeah, he does.
Does he mug and then he gets mugged?
No, he doesn't. No, JJ. Not at all. I get you're in. No way. They tussle not at all.
It was 50-50, but no, then he
gets mugged. Not even. Hold on, not wait. Even.
I'll let me finish. It was 50-50. They're both in there. Mm-hmm. But then, yes, the Philadelphia player does pull him down.
No, I do. But everybody, that's like in the NFL. You can find a holding in any play, every play. Right, there's always a little tussle. There's always a little hold.
I say it's a foul, but I mean they were both tagging with each other. Foul and bring him down.
They're both tagging, but that's the normal course of a corner kick. What he did was not normal in the corner kick, where he just held on to his shirt. It was like, you know, just holding on for dear life while Carlos tried to jump.
PK. It's
yeah, and then the ref determined after reviewing VAR, after being told VAR said, "Hey, go look at it." You know, to overturn, essentially, he goes, no, cause a foul on Carlos. We even lose our free kick from it and everything.
Can I ask you a question, Eddie, real quick?
Yeah.
Are we the only league, VAR, that actually makes our referee go check and then he makes the decision? Or because, if I'm thinking VAR makes the decision if they see it. Like in England, they make it, and then they pull it into the ear of the referee and say it's a goal or no goal or whatever.
No, but the referee still looks and he has a say, right? Alex, you, isn't that the way it goes?
I recall just like a World Cup and all that, they just stand there, and VAR is the one that decides.
No. They in England, they go to the TV.
World Cup, there was the guy that walked up to the monitors, and you had the coaches from both sides yelling at him at the last World Cup. I do recall that. I don't remember how the Premier League does it. In my experience, you almost never see anybody go over to a monitor. The Premier League
is a bit more
efficient, and you don't have the referee
on their watch.
Walks up, and then walks away and then walks back. I've seen that two or three times in matches featuring us this season.
Yeah, what that is somebody who had their mind made. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but, you know, I didn't call it a penalty. You can go in there and find it. You can say, okay, if there was like, if you could throw a flag and be like, hey, Nick Bosa or whatever, Shaquille Barrett was held on that touchdown. You didn't call it. You could be like, eh. You know, you're looking for a reason. Be like, eh, but Carlos pulled him too. That's what that is. You could be a letter of the law nerd. Be like, technically, blah, 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 blah. That's what happened.
Actually.
There. Yeah, actually, he pulled him first. You know, like, man, that's the course of the game. So the point is, look, yes, we should have got a point. But look at the XG. Look at the way we played. We had one shot on goal. Did we deserve any – like, I'm not even over. I'm not even mad about the pro. Alex, what do you think?
Okay. I'm mad we got pro'd. He gets to get added to our growing pro'd Hall of Fame. But at this point, that award has been watered down. The clear and obvious thing, you don't want that being interpreted like the U.S. Constitution. The angles that Philly duped Twitter were bringing into my mentions were from – like the 30-yard line from like their bench point of view. It's like, that's about as clear and obvious as nothing. It's not clear and obvious. It's a 720p grainy screenshot that you're trying to convince me with. Don't bring that in here. He pulled the jersey. Yeah, fine. Doesn't matter because we put ourselves in these positions so often that it always impacts us. Guess what? If we would have tied that match with the PK, which we weren't guaranteed, Evan Weston had a really good point. Yeah, we would have gotten a penalty. Doesn't mean we would have made it against the best goalkeeper in the East. Even though I think Poppy should have gotten that spot in the All-Star match, but that's a whole nother story. That's another money grab. We would still be on this podcast today with a 1-1 draw complaining about the same things. Because guess what? We got handed it. We would have been handed another draw and it would have been another 1-1 draw, the third in the row in the league. The only difference would have been we would have gotten this one from behind and we stole a point. No, it's the same crap, different day.
Yeah, and at home, too, you can't be stealing a point at home, man.
You don't steal points at home. You earn points at home, and it's your home. When people walk out of your stadium having beaten you, they're taking it from you. And that's exactly what they did, and they left us demoralized going into the most important match of this season. And that's after we threw our best 11 currently available at them with resting no tired legs and going all in on beating a team we had no business beating. Shocked we only gave up one goal.
Yeah, yeah, true. We all had as a L.
JJ, praise be to Pedro Galese.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one didn't have to do much because it was only, you know, they had they had one shot on goal and that was their goal. JJ, so the Oscar said that we started off a little bit slow, a little tired. Do you think that he played people, you know, the lineup was wrong or he played too many people against Arsenal or what do you?
First of all, he should have played. I mean, I don't understand this Arsenal game, why he put these players on. Listen, should have at least had them play 30 minutes, had the starters play 30 minutes, and then just put in the he brought all these guys from OCB, should have just thrown them in. Yeah, who cares if they got beat? But guess what? We have an important game on Wednesday. We actually had an important game also against Philadelphia. And, I mean, all the games to us are important. This friendly wasn't really important. Yeah, it's the money, whatever. Fine. Put your starters in for 30 minutes. Take them out slowly by halftime. By the 60th minute, you should have all your, you know, all your non-starters. They should be all out. Look at the Chelsea-Arsenal game. I mean, they all started tough, and then by the second half, you know, you had all your Nuno Tavares and your Cedric Suarez all coming in for Arsenal and all the other players are coming out, the best players. So that's what Orlando City should have done. And when I say all the games are important, they are. I mean,
we're battling for that seventh spot already. Even though we're in fifth, we're battling for seventh. And seventh can mean easily eighth or ninth in about 2 weeks. And we're out of the playoff. And like Cleon said, we got, what, 12 games left? All these games are important. And then we have the biggest important game of our life, you know, for Orlando City, which is Wednesday in the U.S. Open Cup semifinals. And you're still playing, you know, these players. It's just, I don't know. And then what frustrated me was at the end of the game, which to me showed no urgency whatsoever. I'm watching the game on TV.
Oh, man.
And I'm looking at Poppy. And instead of kicking it towards goal, we're kicking it back towards Pedro Galese.
Bro, I don't. That one blew my mind.
That to me, yeah. And I just look at Poppy.
People just walked out. They last back pass to Pedro.
And I'm like, what are we doing? We're down. Why are we passing the ball back?
Why does anyone take accountability and, like, you know, just man up? That's where Nani would have been, like, we were going to try to score, you know?
I think Nani would have been jumping up and down.
Yeah. Like that's where the leadership part is missing there. Yeah, nobody wanted to make a play there, right, Cleon?
No.
Cleon, we saw something we've been talking about. Like, if you look at Pato, he's been playing the backup 10 the last, like, three or four matches now,
mm-hmm.
right? Mauricio played the 8. We're going forward, right? So that's part of what you're saying about the opening the offense? And do you want to see that going forward? Do you think we'll see that kind of going forward? Or what did you think about, you know, Pato there? Because if Pato played like 80 minutes or a bunch against Arsenal, you know, he had some throwback moves. He was doing his thing for a little bit there.
Well, I mean, even when I was saying before about seeing it looks like it's opening up, I wasn't even talking about like Pato or any player individually. Just more, you know, it seems like they're all of a sudden they're having the freedom, the center backs having the freedom to just blast long, direct, like long balls straight down route one. We hadn't seen that for a minute. It seemed like the last time that it stands out really is back when, of course, the big one from MLS is back when Nani got hit with that thing from Janssen. You know what I mean? That used to be like a thing. Now all of a sudden it seems like it's disappeared, at least from the beginning of the season. The last couple of games, you're starting to see it again. Like Carlos connected with Faku on it. I mean, to get the goal against Arsenal. Janssen's been doing it and you know, it just seems like it's more guys are getting the ball and they're going. You know what I mean? Normally it's okay, get the ball, wait for your help to get there. Slow the game down. And that's literally what it seems like our attack has been. Our attack's been there to support the defense. And that's all it was for. Yeah. Now it seems like they're getting the ball and they're going. They're going forward. They're moving quickly. They're looking to try to get into the final third first before regrouping and stuff like that, before it's just an automatic thing. They get the ball up there, they automatically kick it backwards, regroup.
Recycle.
Which doesn't even make sense because all we're doing is letting other teams set up.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't get it. But
even saw Caesar bomb some from deep and they were.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's guys are just going. They're not worrying. It seems like they haven't been worrying about, just trying to hold possession. And that's crazy because, like, in the Philly game, we ended up with 65.
Yeah, 65. You know what I mean?
But it didn't seem like that was what the plan was to slow the game down.
Yeah. I feel like our defenders are passing better than our midfielders. I mean, like, Janssen long balls, I mean, are connecting better than that Mauricio or anybody else gives.
Yeah, Yes, is our best passer in the team, period. He really is. And Cesar was more.
And he moves the ball well too.
Yeah,
like that one charge he did, he moved it.
He's great at that. Yeah, I think Cesar was passing more progressive too. Now, guys, real quick, we'll do studs and duds. Philly game, Arsenal game. Studs, I think Cesar had a good game again, and so I'll pick him as a stud. And then little shout out to Andres Pereira. I think you had a good game in both. You want to do both studs and duds? Okay, studs and duds.
No, I don't know which game you're saying.
Okay, yeah. I said Philly. If I'm going to do, let's do Philly because that mattered. Yeah. We'll do Cesar to me was was I thought he played good, played well again. I think shout out to Perea for having a better game there than we need him now that we lost Sebas Mendes. We forgot to mention that Sebas Mendes was sold to LAFC. No, we did mention that, but anyways, Perea is going to be tasked for more minutes now. Cleon, where were your studs and duds? Oh, duds. I want to say, dang, I'm going to say, oh man, I'm going to say, I don't know what to say for that one. You know what? I'm just going to throw this guy out there because he just ain't doing nothing, man. Jake Moraney just ain't doing it, man. This is a squad player. Hey, if we get rid of him tomorrow, I could care less. He just Jake Moraney, exactly.
Who?
Jake Moraney.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Irish left winger. He just isn't doing nothing. And I know our system ain't conducive to him, but I mean, Atlanta got us. They didn't need him for a reason. They stink too. So, sometimes a change of scenery could work, but it doesn't seem to be working in our system. I would like him to do a little bit more, be a little more aggressive. And we played three people on the left wing and we're just trying to figure something out. And we're so unbalanced on the left. It's ridiculous. Cleon, who are your studs and duds?
Philly, honestly, nobody really stood out to me for Philly. I thought Janssen was decent. I generally don't like giving my defenders and stuff studs and studs and things like that. I'm an attacking guy, bro. I'll give it to Faku. Even though he really should have had a goal. I just like seeing the aggressive Faku and him being and putting himself in these positions in the first place. I feel like that's a shot that more times than not, he's going to put it in the correct place. So I'll give him credit for at least just getting it there. So yep. I'll give him my stud. And then he gets it for Arsenal as well. So overall, I'll give it to him. I'll give a second to Pedro for his little Superman stunt he pulled.
What are you talking about?
Pedro. That was against Atlanta.
Dud against who? Wait, who's the dud for this one?
The dud, I'm giving it to Juan, because what are you doing, bro?
Oh, I gotcha.
Bro, what are you doing?
That mental lapse.
Come on,
that
was, bro. Come
yeah,
on.
That was just dumb, man.
Come on, man.
But he was thinking about some...
Like, get it together, bro. Get it together.
Yeah. I don't know what he's thinking. JJ, stud and dud?
For the Arsenal game, my stud goes to Faku. Facundo. He manhandled Nuno to Tavares.
Bro, Arsenal Nation, Arsenal fans were like, bro, send that guy packing.
Thinking his thinking he got the money.
yeah, for real.
But don't we rip off everybody anyways?
That's the truth.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Faku definitely. My dud? Benji Michel, who can't score one-on-one with the keeper against
Arsenal. I watched it again.
He can't hang on to the ball.
Yeah, you know,
it got hit.
It got hit by holding.
When it happened, but
he should have hit it quicker. He should have had it.
True. He waited too long. This is me FIFA. Too long. Well, I play FIFA with co-op with my brother, and I'm the guy who, like, I just wait and line it up really well, take too long. That's Benji was holding on to that B button too long. Just hold on, gotta let it go. Yeah, okay. Well, Philadelphia, who were your studs and duds?
My stud, I'm gonna give it to João Montinho.
I almost gave it to him actually.
You know, the guy doesn't make any mistakes, he plays smart. I just wish he would go up more. I mean, when you see he crosses the ball perfectly in the box. Where is Cara?
Bro, it seems like he's never up this season, right?
Bro,
what's going on with that? That's a good point you just made, bro. Like,
has Cara landed a cross, gone on the end of a cross that wasn't a set piece? Does anybody remember one? Cleon, do you remember?
Bro, it's hard to remember crosses that were even accurate enough to get on
the ball. We got who on one side and Kyle Smith playing fullback half the time. Yeah. We're not getting,
the only ones making the crosses?
And then my thing is, you know, João Montinho, he went up a couple times, you know, not all the time, but he's been playing way back. And then it's just that cross. So I give it to João Montinho. My dud for this one, the whole team in the last 2 minutes when passing the ball back to Pedro. I mean, common sense. kick the word
bro,
blues.
Schlegel. Bro, did you see Schlegel when he was doing the throw in? He's like screaming at I can't even remember what other two players were back there, but they were like behind. He's trying to throw it in. It was from pretty deep, mind you. But he had two guys like behind him and he's like screaming. He's like he's waving.
He's calling everybody up.
Go that way. He's telling him, he's like, go that way. And the guy and like the defender, whoever it was, just refused.
I think it was Carlos. Yeah.
So he ended up having to throw it to him.
Like we don't need a tall guy to boot balls into the box with the end. Like, what were you doing, bro? Absolutely. Yeah.
So that was my studs and duds.
Alex, I mean, you got me mad with that. I forgot about that. Bro, that's terrible. All right. Alex, go ahead, buddy.
You're shaking my head back and forth, translate to audio.
Yeah.
So, stud, I agree with JJ. Moutinho definitely had a good match. I'll give honorable mention to Janssen as well. He had a good one. My dud goes to Kara and Ruwan. On both ends of the ball, just not functioning. And like I was alluding to while JJ was talking about this, how we don't get these crosses because they're not accurate. And we're the only people we're letting take these crosses are Ruwan and Kyle Smith. I mean, Mulroney has tried and he's not much more successful. The only success he's had is putting one in and having an own goal score. I mean, that's his biggest contribution to the club. And with that being said, we're complaining about Benji. We're complaining about Mulroney. And no one's going to fill that role, or is our new acquisition going to fill that role?
Well, we're having two, from what we understand, two attacking pieces, Nicolas Giacchini, and then, you know, a winger for Colombian winger on loan in Brazilian club. So we'll see. But one of those two, I mean, that spot's wide open for the taking. Mm-hmm. Wide open for it. If you're going to have a big, you're going to have a big lug like Kata, then you're going to hit stuff at him. That's the point, right? Where else do you have that? But yeah, Mulroney was 0-for-3 on crosses. Okay. In the first half. So the only cross that was a good cross, besides Moutinho had a couple, was Benji. Benji put one on Tesho's head, and that was one of our highest XG moments, and Tesho missed. It wasn't an easy one, but that was our second highest XG besides Facundo's. So yeah, who are your duds? Okay, so your studs and duds, we got those. Okay, guys, so next we got Open Cup Wednesday. This is the biggest match in Orlando City. You know, this is bigger to me. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. This is bigger than the MLS Cup final, this match, because if Orlando City wins, beats the New York Red Bulls,
MLS is back.
MLS is Cup? What did I say? I don't know. MLS is back.
MLS is Cup.
MLS is Cup back. MLS is back Cup. Yes, MLS is back final. That was cool, but, you know, it was right below the Orlando City preseason invitational in regards to prestige. but the Open Cup, if we win, then we play SKC, who hasn't been good, or we play Sacramento Republic, right? At home. Ooh. For the final, guys. So to me, this is the final in a way. I don't want to like ignore SKC because we haven't been good either, or Sacramento Republic because the Rowdies gave us a bit of a go for a bit. I don't want to ignore those guys, but bro, if we, this is as good a chance ever to win the Open Cup. But the last, we're not on good form. We have one win in the last eight matches, that own goal, six losses at home. Who would have thought that? One of the best traits we had on the Oscars, that we were tough to beat at home. We would draw at home. We have zero draws, five wins, six losses at home. I wish this match was on the road. How crazy is that? Because we're doing better. But guys, if we lose, like what do you think, Clea? If we lose, what do you make of the season? What do you make of Oscar? I mean, what do you got?
Yeah, man. It would take. I honestly feel like it would take a miracle turnaround in the regular season for. And a run during the playoffs for Oscar to really have job security going into next year. But I mean, mind you, he didn't have a lot coming in. because his contract's supposed to be up, right?
From what I understand, yeah.
Yeah, so
an extension or something or option for this year.
Yeah, so he didn't have a ton to begin with, so it definitely has not been a good showing for, you know, someone hoping for a contract extension. Yeah, if they blow this, I feel and history's not good, bro. It's Red Bulls, who we've lost to the Red Bulls more than any other team in MLS, bro. Like, well, actually, probably not even that. Probably in our entire history.
I feel like the last time we beat them was a Carrasco header.
No, we legit lost to them more than anyone else ever. So, like, we have very little success against Red Bulls historically. So, it really don't look good. So, I mean, winning this and getting there, getting to the final, and I almost feel like he has to, like, at this point, you have to win the cup, bro. I feel like you have to win the cup, unless it's going to be a monumental change in these last final 12 games and MLS playoff run, if we're fortunate enough to make it, because at this point, that's not a done deal as we thought it was. Because, I mean, like, even like JD is saying, we're in fifth, but that's only because of, like, games in hand and crap. Like, you look at points per game, we're on pace for six, because we're at six as far as actual points per game. So
Columbus would be
like, yeah, assuming everybody stays in the form they're in, then I mean, we're not looking too good. I mean, the only teams then we're gonna have to try to hold off FC Cincinnati, New England, Atlanta. I keep thinking Atlanta's gonna make a run, but they just I don't know what's up with them. They don't look like they're threatening right now. Toronto's definitely going to make a run, but they've been so horrible that it's like they're going to have to, like, not quite win out, but, like, just be on a major tier to start jumping up these standings as far as getting up there. Yeah, it's not been good, man. Like, one win in eight matches. Like you said, the one was a freaking own goal by the other team. It's not looking good. It's really not. So, Oscar, I feel like we have to win. I feel like you have to win this cup.
If do you think it's immediate sacking if he loses, or
I wouldn't. The year? I can't see it. I can't see it. There's rumors floating around here and there saying that it could be, but me personally, it wouldn't make sense. Because, like, what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? Because normally, if you sack somebody like that, it's just going to be an interim. What would you do? Get Bazan to take over? It's like they're the same person, bro. You know what I mean? They work hand in hand.
Bazan's the offensive coordinator for this future. Yeah, like, offense.
But it would make no sense. You might as well just leave what you have. You might as well just leave it till the end of the season at this point. And these guys are so drilled. See, that's the thing. I don't think anyone's quit playing for Oscar. I think they love Oscar. I don't think they quit playing for him. But I think Oscar's got these guys so drilled in his way that I don't think you can shake that off in a 12-game stretch. You know what I mean? So where even if Oscar himself was like, hey, let's play more loose. Don't worry about so much structure, so much this, so much that. To where these guys are so drilled that you just see it pop up from time to time, just like it did at the end of that damn game. Like, we clearly need a shot. The refs already should have blown the whistle 15 seconds ago, and we're still passing backwards. Like, I mean, these guys are like they're like robots at this point, bro. Like, they're so drilled and so trained.
Yeah,
well trained into what Oscar wants to do. Then it's like this. I don't think you can change it at this point.
It's the drilling, or is it just maybe our players aren't that good?
I don't agree. I don't agree with that.
I think because you look at, you know, we got Cara, we got Facundo, we got Cesar. Cesar to me is the only one that's out of the three DP or three players that we got this offseason that's done anything. But then you look at Toronto, you know, the two players they brought in. First game they do, boom. Already assists, goals, everything. Garrett Bale has already contributed, you know, to LAFC. These players that are coming into other teams contribute right away. Our players come in
and they're not contributing whatsoever right away. I mean, heck, we're what, in past the mid season, and they're still not contributing. So, I mean, what is it? I mean, drilling these players. Go ahead.
Real quick, I'm gonna say this because I already know. I'm not disputing anything JJ's saying right now, but I already know there's some listener out there and they're like, oh, you can't compare Faku and this person, that person to Gareth Bale and this person, whatever. But even if you go look at it further and you look at other teams where it's not Gareth Bale coming in or Insigne or whoever, look at Columbus. They bring that guy in. That dude's, he's dropping immediately. Chucho's, he's dropping immediately, bro. Like even Cisneros or Atlanta, even Cisneros, he's putting up stats right away. Even when they're playing him off the bench, like he's scoring goals. The other striker for LAFC. Like these guys come in and yeah, they do contribute immediately. But I mean, like I said, it's how much of that is our system. Because it's like this is the place where offense comes to die, bro. You know what I mean?
Look at the end of the last two games. One, we had breakaways, counters against Atlanta, which we turned sideways, passed it backwards. And we needed a goal at the end, and we passed it back to the goalie. You know, that's just, you can't. That's something to do with mentality, I think, there. Mm-hmm. So what's your prediction for this match, Cleo?
Oh, mine? Oh.
Bro, we're gonna go there. It's gonna be wild.
Oh my god, bro. I'm gonna try. I don't even know if I believe myself, but I'm gonna say we win 2-1. I don't know how. I don't know why.
New York Red Bulls just scored 4 on Atlanta, but I mean on Austin, but they allowed 3, but they put up 4. They were up 4-1. 4 goals. That takes us about a month.
Wait. I thought y'all were saying Austin was up 4-1.
No.
No,
Red Bulls won 4-1.
Oh,
they got a third goal in the 81st minute to get close up the gap. Red Bulls came out quick on them. So, Cleon, 2-1, Orlando, ooh, have some faith.
Oh, that's some new information you're dropping on me now, bro.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm gonna stick with it and say 2-1. I don't even know if I believe it, but I'm just gonna say 2-1, bro.
Alex,
because I just feel like you just can't keep losing, can you?
You can't. No, you can't. We're due against the Red Bulls. Alex, are we due? Is it happening? Magic of the Cup set. Orlando City wins at home. The Cup
this
set.
This is
oh my God.
This would definitely is it gonna, be a Poppy, Cup set.
Yeah,
this
Poppy
would definitely be a Cup set.
Yeah, here's Poppy the breaks the curse against the Bulls with the energy drinks.
Yeah, here's the thing. Red Bulls had to travel. They traveled to Austin, right? I believe that was they traveled to Austin, mm-hmm. lost or beat them 3-4. And I think they wasted all their goals there. I don't think this is going to be pretty. I don't think it's going to be sexy. It's not going to be the kind of new football we want to see. It's not going to be the first half of our match versus Arsenal where we actually look halfway coherent. No. It's going to be none of those things. It's going to be just playing it out and praying to whoever will listen that it lands on goal. I have enough optimism to say that we can beat this team if we don't screw it up. I say...
How do we do that? Like, how are we...
By aim not making dumb mistakes on defense, two, by actually like using the few chances we get every match to our advantage instead of putting shots off of crossbars and missing wide right. Sorry, Buffalo Bills fans. With Facundo had 2 great chances that he squandered against Philly. I think he's going to come back hungry in the Open Cup. My biggest concern is rested legs, but we're going to have a full day of rested legs more than New York, and they wasted their goals. All this rambling to say, I agree with Cleon, 2-1, but we get our second goal in extra time.
Cardiac cats. Wow. JJ, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, if they wasted the goals, and let's say they only come in at 50%, does that mean they still drop 2-1 us?
True.
Your logic is not flawed.
They didn't start a couple starters either. They rested a couple of them.
Whereas we didn't do that at all.
They rested the DPs, I think.
Yeah, they rested the three star. Yeah, for real.
All righty. So here we go. We've heard this before. We play at home. The other team comes. We're well rested at home. Yeah, I've heard that before. It doesn't work. Let me tell you.
That hurts so bad because it's so true.
It's sad.
The weather, it's the summer.
It does.
We need to do a rain dance to have this be a rain game. Okay.
Yeah, we can get an own goal. That's the only way that it'll happen and have a big 3-hour delay or 4-hour delay and start late. Listen, this is how it's going to go. New York Red Bulls or New Jersey or whatever, Harrison City, whatever they're from, Newark, New Jersey. Listen, they're coming in. They're going to score the first goal. Poppy parks the bus after they score their first goal.
Oh, my God.
Hold up. We go to the 91st minute. It's a set piece. The ball is like a pinball, just traveling around in there. Here comes Rodrigo Schlegel out of nowhere, kicks it into the goal. We're tied at 1-1. We go to extra time. Okay. At extra time.
This is like deja vu.
I've seen this movie.
This is statue.
This is deja vu. Like
it's deja vu with Nashville all over again. And then we go, we play. Pedro saves our butt in extra time, you know, where New York Red Bulls had a couple of chances. But unlike the Red Bulls will not have a red card. Or unlike Nashville, where they had a man down, Red Bulls will have their full 11. And then we go to PKs. This time, they do PKs on the other side, on the south side. So we have the running of the wall again. And we end up winning to go to the finals. And that's how we win. And we play Sacramento Republic in the final.
Wow, JJ. Oh, JJ, I did not have that going in there. You know,
I was sure this story was going to end with us losing our first ever PK shootout.
I thought so, too.
No, we're still undefeated then.
Yeah, look at that. Well, I was looking at the Red Bulls goals today, all four goals. They were up 2-0, then 2-1. Then they got the two goals. They were all off of turnovers in the middle of the pitch. And then, boom, they scored right outside the box in a couple and inside the box. So they had 21.7 possession, 13 shots, 8 shots on goal. 8 out of 13 shots on goal. 4 of them winning.
That's as many as we get all game, bro.
Total passes, 151. they're going to sit there, have the ball all you want. But, bro, the chances they create off of that is incredible off of their system, man. So, and then if you look at Austin, I don't know, I keep calling them Atlanta. Austin, they had, you know, they're all around kind of in the box, no whiff. They squeeze you down, all that. But that being said, okay, like, that stuff scares me because they're gonna get Mauricio. They're gonna bully up. The Urso's a little slow and turning. Cesar, as great as he is in positioning, he's not a guy who quick, nimble. You know, we saw at the end of the game, he was trying to take people on. Didn't work. All he did was just try to draw fouls or corners. So the middle of the park, Mauricio, Urso, Cesar, you know, I don't know if they play Bato at the 10 because he's the open cup guy. They always play Bato at the 9, put Mauricio at the, I don't know, but the middle of the park is going to be key. We don't have really anyone besides Mauricio who's a quick and nimble to kind of get out of pressure. And they double team him. They get all over him. They hit him. And he's been playing a lot of minutes. So that has me worried, man. I don't know how we beat the Red Bulls. But that being said, you know, Murphy's Law or whatever is someone's law. We're due. Poppy's due to beat the Red Bulls at some point, right? It's got to happen. Why not for the Open Cup semifinal at home? You know, why not now? So I'm going to give my prediction. You know, why not now? I don't know why it's not. Why not now? But it's not going to happen. We're going to lose 2-0.
Oh, my God, this guy.
We're going to lose 2-0. Hey. They're going to score. They're going to score off of turnover in the middle of the park. 1-0. We're going to chase the goal, and they're going to catch us again. And they're just going to sit back and 2-0. And I'm going to be
the
sad.
Next day, and the next day, Poppy gets fired.
He's going to the end of the season, and Battery makes MLS Cup.
No. He'll get fired. And this is the reason why. It's all marketing and everything. Because if you hold on to him, you're going to have a lot of fans not renew their season tickets for next season because he goes till the end of the season and you got renewals coming up within the next month and a half.
And if you still have Poppy and you're still losing, you're going to have a lot of people, and you've seen it on OC Twitter already, people saying they're not going to renew if this continues. So, A, do you want the stadiums full? Or B, do you not care about money? The Wolves just want empty stadium and keep it. So my thing is Poppy loses, he's gone within the next 2 to 3 days before the DC game this week.
Wow. That's not illogical at all. Look, man, the Wolves, they came in here, Orlando City, fan base, blah, the pride. The way that's gone this year.
Now it's empty?
The state of the pride's a mess. The stadium's empty. They might as well have bought, you know, stocks or crypto. It might have done, would have dropped less in value.
This has all happened since they took over.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's just saying it's not their fault. I'm just saying since they bought it, how was it their fault though?
A lot of the people towards the top have been some people they've installed, and how many coaches have the Pride had since they bought the team? What? Two, three coaches?
Oh, they've had more.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to argue. I don't care about the Pride.
I'm talking more about the Pride than I am.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
OC.
Fine.
OC is a OC's, whole different.
No, OC, they step status quo, and they spent like $20 million. If you add Faku, Cesar, Gaston, Cara, and bonus agents, they spent $20, $22 million. What else do you want? They showed up and spent $20-something million. Like, what else do you want? That's like $22 million. That's like $32 million more than Flavio. You know, it's like
one of those players to not get hurt.
Yeah. So yeah, for sure. Okay, fine. But I don't know what else you want from them. So what JJ said is logical. I don't think it's practical to get rid of Oscar during the season because the players like him. They play for him. And like Cleon said, like, what's the point? We're going to bring a Bazan guy who's the offensive coordinator for a bad offense, you know? What are we going to do unless we're going to bring in a big name, or are we just going to let Seb Hines coach the men too? I don't know. So, yeah. Or maybe Lewis Neal's still in town.
No, Paul
Shaw, or
we need what's his name?
Antonio
Giles Barnes. He's helping. He's helping. I didn't see him at church today. He hasn't been at church since he became the Pride assistant coach. So he still didn't go to church, Giles, but I love you still. I'm sorry, guys. I'm the only one who thinks we're going to lose. I want to win. Nothing would be great. I love Oscar Pareja as a person. It's a coach. As a coach, he's brought us to respectability. He's brought us to another level. But I feel like he's the Colombian Sam Allardyce, where if you're Alan Pardew, one of those kind of guys, where Roy Hodgson, where you're going down, you go and call Big Sam, you get tied defensively, you become hard to beat, you stay up, and you get a little bit more respect. But at some point, you know, you want a little bit more. And I'm at that point at this time. So I don't care to let him go. It's not going to – I mean, I'm sad as a person because I like him. I don't care as a supporter if they do. But I don't think it's practical to do it. I just think it's probably best to let him see the season through. And if we make a run in the playoffs and he keeps the job, he earns it, then so be it. I'm not against anything. That's part of being a supporter. I'm for, like Cleon, JJ said a couple weeks ago, like about the badge, about winning. You, whoever does it, whoever's wearing our shirt, whoever's coaching it, doesn't matter. Let's win, baby. You know, I don't care who's there, right? So I just don't have confidence.
The after scoring that goal yesterday, when he put his hands to his ears, you know that was for Orlando City fans. But everybody,
huh?
But the main thing is, you know, these players, they don't care. They're Orlando City today.
They're really might have been Hearts fans.
You know, they're somebody else.
Yeah, you know? There's some Scottish guys saying, "Is those ears for me?" You know, so but you're right. No, what JJ's saying is like, look, when they move on, they move on. So, but here again, we take a picture with them at, you know, Publix, and we think they're best friends for life. They don't care about you, man. Most of them don't. You know, just so they don't. You know, they took a picture because the team told them to, man. Most of them are your friends. Sorry to tell you. So, so honestly, I don't trust Oscar's could figure. I don't trust us being depressed. I don't trust that Oscar's figure out Rebel. All the history shows that he can't beat them. And last time they didn't just beat us. Like, remember last year against Red Bulls, he went 5 at the back, Mikey Holiday, Perea, Mendez, all of this thing. He was like, my bad about the game plan. This year, we're not competitive against them. So as much as I want to win the Open Cup, this is the worst. This is the last team I want to play right now. A team who doesn't care if they're on the road or home. They had 21% possession today, 151 passes. I think Facundo had that himself last game. You know, so like it's just not a match. So I don't want to be, you know, I'm just saying logically, the history is telling us we're not going to win this, but I really hope we do. Nothing will make you happier than we're lifting a trophy, Open Cup at home, and the consequences of this, the consequences of a loss to Wednesday is just so catastrophic, in my opinion, to the rest of the season. I'm going to probably cry if we lose, no joke, you know. So, but anyway, shout out.
Same, I will.
Cry. But before you say anything on that, I this is a business. Orlando City is a business. It's an entity. It's not,
especially now when they got bought in as an investment by investing.
Exactly. It's a business, and they need to make money. And seeing, you don't think the Wolves seeing the empty stadiums, because I mean they bought into, it's Orlando, man. The walls packed. People hate coming to Orlando to play this and that. And now you're looking at it, 15, 16, 17. 18, when we have a 25,000 seat stadium, when was the last time that was a sold out crowd? I think it was against Inter Miami, the rain delay. And I don't even know if that was a sold out crowd.
No, not even close.
The last sellout was the opener of last year, I think. Like legit sellout, something like that.
But my main thing is this is a business. And you're in a month and a half renewal time comes for season ticket holders. And if you don't improve and you lose this Open Cup, you're going to have people saying, I'm not buying season tickets. What am I wasting $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on seats just to see them lose when I can get them for free? Basically, people are giving them away on social media and everything, or get them way cheap than what I'm paying for season tickets. This is a business. This is why I say he loses. He's gone on Thursday or Friday.
I didn't think about the season ticket angle. That's legitimate. If anyone's gonna poo-poo that stuff is true. That stuff does happen. Possibility. Well, guys, real quick, speed round. Lineup predictions for the Open Cup.
I was gonna say that myself. Go ahead.
Yeah. Alex, lineup, because we got Juan's been terrible. It's time to put Kasimov right back. So Joao's back, left back,
Unfortunately, I think we see the exact same lineup we saw on Saturday, but with Antonio Carlos instead of Schlegel.
Okay, gotcha. All right, and then JJ, what's your starting 11?
I see Mikey Halliday starting at right back. Yeah, I know, you're making that face. But and then Antonio Carlos, Janssen, and Montinho. And then you have Cesar, Facundo, Mauricio, Pato, and maybe Cara together up there. And that's it.
Wow. Okay. So Mikey Halliday, he starts, gets to his first MLS match start this season, I think, in the most important game in Orlando City history. That's bold, buddy. That's bold. You big belief on him.
See Ruan, then I know the game plan. It's just keep passing it to him on the left side.
I got on the right on the side. Right. I mean. Yeah, I got you. Look, the problem isn't that. The problem is he's executing trash. But if you don't do that, people say that all the time. I hear this all the time online. Well, why do we go to the right? Have you seen us go down the middle? Have you seen us go down the left? Are we missing opportunities somewhere else to do that? Is there some obvious solution, obvious attack angle or strategy or tactics that work a majority of the time that we are pushing aside in order to do that? No, we're not. The reason we don't go up high with Kasimov, because he can't go that high. He can't make runs behind because it's too slow. And if he goes up high, he can't track back. So it's not that they don't want to. They just purposely tell Kyle, don't go there. It's because he can't do what Juan does. Problem is, the end product sucks. But I'm saying this, I get trying to be like, eventually, dang it, something's going to come off. If it's there, other than that, we just have packed and we pass it around the top of the box and no one shoots it. So it's not like we're losing anything in the middle. The only thing that's worked for us is counterattacks, verticality, and speed. That's when we score goals and set pieces. When we score goals and when we go quick and we try to score that way, that's been our best approach. Other than that, we try to pass it in the net a lot. Anyway,
I think with counterattacks is I see them going on a counterattack. I see them pull back.
And I know. They shouldn't though. But I'm saying when we don't, it's when we.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, gotcha. Cleon, what's your lineup?
My lineup, or is this a prediction, or is this who I want?
Do both real quick.
All right. I think my prediction, I think he goes Matinho, Pedro, Janssen, Carlos, Juan again, Cesar, Urso. I think he goes... Bro, I feel like everything's on the line. I feel like I think he might actually go Pato and Mauricio and Faku with Carr. I just literally just changed that on the fly. I think that's what he ends up doing for this one. If he doesn't, he just sticks to the usual and he starts one of Pato or Mauricio and then brings him off the bench. I feel like you can't do that. I feel like you need to go out all guns blazing. Shoot, at this point, I would, if it's me, I don't know if I would do it during Open Cup because it'll be first time, but for the rest of the season, I would highly consider just pulling Juan because it's not coming together. It's not working. I would highly consider just pulling him, and adding another attacker, bro. Like I would go three. And I know it ain't never worked. I know it hasn't.
I know. The club's been pushing for the Benji right wing back.
Right. No, not with Benji. I wouldn't do it with Benji, bro. I bring Pato into it. I bring Giacchini up there, bro. Like, let's go.
I gotcha. So you do like a 3-4-3, like not five at the back.
I don't know, bro. But those are my players. My players, I would stick out there, bro. I would have Carr out there. I would have Pato out there. Mauricio, yes. Faku, Urso,
offense.
Cesar, Jao, Janssen, Carlos, Pedro, and Giacchini.
Yeah. Yeah. And look into Ruan has been, but his passing has been awful. But also, I do think the fact that Cara is like a statue in there doesn't beat this guy or make, you know, he never gets to the post ahead. That is playing part of it. Like, Ruan is like, even when there's people open, he's missing them. Right. But
yeah,
he's got one assist this year, like expected assist, like 2.4, I think it is. So I'm just saying he maybe gets three assists with DK because he's been bad. But if you know, gotta just, bro, get open, like beat your guy, get to the near post, do something.
My thing is, we
can't kill Cara for that. And then we can't kill Cara for that. And then not say, well, you know, why isn't he on the cross of Moutinho's and not say, why isn't he on the cross of Huron's too? Because sometimes Huron's like, bro, I've seen it when you sit, like JJ, you sit down the tunnel. Sometimes you see Huron there and there's no one to pass it to. There's nothing. And he just forces it, trying to do something instead of recycling it because there's just nobody open. So some of it is just that.
Why don't we at this point, like just try something, bro. Like you can't just keep spamming Juan all season long because it's not working.
I'm fine with that. So
it's like for me, it's like even if I'm pulling Juan and putting Schlegel in there and just leaving those three at the back and then let's send Matinho up there, bro. Like if you're dead set on trying to run everything through your fullback, send Matinho up there. Bro.
Yeah, yeah. He's historically done that where he sends one fullback. If you're going to send one, just play Kyle Smith on the right, tell him to sit back, and then send Matinho up all the time. You know, like, that's what I would do.
Well,
I would
whether it's Kyle, whether it's Schlegel, whoever.
In the center back already, so
yeah, and he could cover back. Yeah, he's essentially he could be like the third center back, essentially. Right when Joao comes up, he's the right center back.
Exactly.
My 11 is. Did you get yours? All
when you hope?
Yeah, my 11 would be. I would put Kyle in on this one. I would do that. I would let Joao go up. I would put Kyle in. Yeah, I would put Kyle in right back in this one. Carlos, Janssen, Joao, Cesar. If I had my way, I'd put Cesar and Mauricio, you know, in midfield, and then Pato at the 10.
Yeah.
Gara and Fagundo, and who cares who the left winger is? Benji, at least he's fast. At least he'll like track back for Joao. Joao's going to come up. I trust Benji on defense, then Jake Moraney, right? So I will go Benji.
Well, Jake can't play anywhere, so.
Oh, Jake can't play. That's true. Yeah, Jake is cap tied because of Atlanta. So whatever. Who cares? I don't think he has an impact anyways, but sorry. Killing Jake today. But nonetheless, I'm going to say I don't think that's what happens. I do think that we got Urso in the midfield over Pato. Mauricio's at the 10, and I think what you see is Oscar make a change sooner. I do, but I'll say Pato starts 9, and then Fagundo comes in. I mean, not Fagundo, Cara comes in like at half, and then you see Pato at the 10. So what I think is going to happen is you might see our normal 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 kind of thing, but you see substitutions sooner in this match is what I think happens. Okay, so guys, we're on super long. There's a lot to talk about today. Shout outs real quick. Anyone got a shout out? Alex, go ahead.
Shout out to the latest football team in Orlando. Announced today, the football, American football, is returning. Pro American football is returning to the City Beautiful in 2023. The XFL is officially moving Tampa's franchise to Camping World Stadium and will be headed by Terrell Buckley.
Terrell Buckley.
Are you sure it's Camping World Stadium?
Yeah, it's Camping World. Reading it from the press.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
it is Camping World?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Might as well use a white elephant for something, not a monster.
Exactly.
Truck. Yeah. Yeah, JJ, shout out, anyone?
Shout out to... Hey, shout out to FC Series, man. They did a great job with everything from basically, you know, when they started out small with their January tournaments at Disney Wild World of Sports, and now they've become humongous, you know, bringing Arsenal, Chelsea, games in Las Vegas, Charlotte, and two of them here in Orlando, based here in Orlando. It's awesome. Love it. Hopefully next year you can bring more teams and expand that FC series. But great job, FC series, on doing what you guys do. Because I remember when you guys just started. And it's funny because one of those guys is an Orlando City guy that started this whole thing. So good job. Keep it up, guys.
Nice. Cleon, shout out. Anything special or you want me to go first?
Nothing special. I'll shout out. I'll keep it soccer. I'll keep it MLS related, and I'll shout out FC Cincinnati. I'll shout out New England, Miami, Charlotte, Chicago, Atlanta.
Oh, I see where this is going.
I'll shout all y'all out for being the only team sucky enough to keep us above this line. So, I'll shout y'all out for all the good looking out. Y'all been there for us, supporting us all season long. So keep it up.
There you go. You keep doing what you do, fellas. We appreciate you.
Keep doing what you do.
I'm going to do a shout out to the Arsenal. That was great going to the match. I didn't want to miss Orlando City match. So I saw Arsenal. I don't care enough about Chelsea. I'm not a Chelsea fan, but I thought I could kind of have my cake and eat it. So I watched Orlando City versus Arsenal, and then I got to see Orlando and Philadelphia. So that kind of worked out. I got to see Roberto Carlos was there, Danielson, Gilberto Silva, Ray Parler, Invincibles, Gunnar Soares. My man Troops from the Barstool podcast. You know what I mean?
Trimpin.
Yeah, Frimpon was there. My man Frimpon was there. And, man, it was just cool. It was cool. And a shout-out to Ricardo. I felt bad for him. There's all these superstars everywhere. He hears a guy call his name, looks around, thinks someone special. It's me. And he looks so disappointed for a half second. But I appreciate you still saying hi to me. He was like, oh, it's just him. But, yeah, shout-out to them and a lot of the Orlando Gooners and stuff like that. They did a good job. Making people feel welcome. I got to know a little bit of them at the end after the match, and they put a good show, and Arsenal put a good show, and the fan base did well, and Orlando City, I thought that was a win for the city. The city showed up well, you know, 80,000, like you said, showed up, you know, that they were watching soccer Saturday, and a bunch showed up on their Orlando on the Arsenal-Orlando match as well. So I thought it was good for the city. It shows that there's a lot of meat on that bone. We should fill out the stadium, and bro, that's it. That's my shout out.
Did you keep Section 10 nice and clean for me?
I did, buddy. I did. Section 10 was nice. Roberto Carlos was right there in Section 10. Yeah, man. It's shorter than I thought he was. But anyways, guys, that's it. We got a lot to talk about. These are some trying times and tribulations here. The Orlando City fandom. We all love the club. No one loves the club more than we do. It's not, well, I mean, we all love the club. We're just saying that we don't. We don't just because we're critical doesn't mean we don't love the club. Just stop being babies about that. But that being said, guys, let's vamos Orlando.
Vamos
open
Orlando.
Cup on Wednesday.
Vamos Orlando.
We open cup on Wednesday. If you're a true Orlando supporter, I don't want to hear nonsense about we're supporting and you don't go to this game if you can. You know, bro, this is a huge, huge match. So be there or be square. Vamos Orlando. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Until next time, be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook and at OrlandoLionsDen.com.